Welcome on into the 40K segment of the Wide World of Wargaming. I am your host, Vincent Borgato. Joining me, as per the usual, Mr. Alexander Gonzalez.
Hello.
And Mr. Michael Schwartz.
Good evening, everyone.
And joining us for the very first time, making his debut appearance, one would say, good friend of the program, longtime friend of all of us, Anthony D'Amore.
I'm very excited to announce that I've officially been on more episodes than I've listened to.
And that's getting deleted.
Super edgy.
Just remember, guys, he's been invited to give quotes to FLG about playing Death Watch, and we haven't.
Anthony does. He's got a lot of time on his hands, so he's got a lot to do.
Ooh, okay. Well, we are not going to spend this entire show making fun of each other, despite the fact that that's all we're pretty much good for at this point. There was a nice, fun, and somewhat well-known event taking place over in Europe, the European Team Championships. America, unfortunately, didn't even podium, which is kind of embarrassing, but still, well done to everyone. Sixth place ain't bullshit. And I understand we were kind of in the running up until a disastrous round against, was it Poland?
England.
Of course it was. England, including Nick Benedict Arnold Nanavati.
Yo, man, you got to give credit. You got to give credit to that name, man.
He shouldn't be allowed in another American tournament without somebody yelling at him when he walks in the door. Hey, Benedict, I want his citizenship pulled.
Oh boy, but we're not going to do that.
Let's go ahead and just kind of jump in and take a look at the Team England's list first, just because congratulations to them. They did win it all. Perfect 6-0. And, I mean, they pretty much walked over everybody they played except Russia, who ended up getting, not DQ'd, but heavily penalized for some, well, Russia-like behavior. Let's just put it that way.
Was it drugs? Please tell me it was performing-enhancing drugs.
No, wait, hold on. Can I expand on this real quick?
Please do.
Yeah, there were numerous occasions where there was slow play involved. Warnings were had. Warnings were relatively ignored. And the hammer went down. There was a side note to a completely separate situation, which the judges will not announce the country of origin, so to speak. But there was a cocked dice, or not a
loaded
cocked dice,
die.
But a fixed dice, loaded dice situation.
I think it was Ukraine.
The judges did not give an official name. They did say that the opponents weren't aware of it, and the opponents didn't think that they had used that, you know, those dice, the loaded dice. But nonetheless, they were caught with the dice. Doesn't matter if they used it or not used it. You get caught with the dice, you're out.
Player, what? The way I understand it, that player was immediately ejected.
Yeah, immediately.
So, you know, it is nice to see that tournament organizers and judges are starting to, you know, really take competitive integrity seriously more than just, well, you know, maybe we just won't let them get prize support this time.
Whoa, Vince, hey, hold on. I got to say, if you could do a whole episode in that voice, that would be ideal.
Like, seriously, Kermit the Frog.
It wasn't supposed to be.
I'll either lose my mind or we'll lose like a dozen listeners, which means it will be at like minus 11. But
wait, whose mom is it? Yours or mine?
Both at this point.
That's fair.
All right. All right. Let's move on, children.
You know, Schwartz, well, I'm not going to do it. Like we said, we're going to take a look at Team England. I'm going to go right down the list. First player up, Mr. Josh Roberts. You know, it's a good thing we started with this because Anthony might know a little something about it. Death Watch, Black Templar, and Assassins. So, Anthony, you're the resident expert on Death Watch. Talk.
Okay, I mean, it's a cool list. I'm immediately unimpressed because it does the same thing that every other Death Watch player does, so...
Is this the part where you rant against veterans?
I'm not going to rant about it. Nobody cares what I have to say.
Welcome to the show. You fit right in.
We care. We care what you have to say, Anthony.
We brought you on because you are Mr. Death Watch and because we want to hear what you have to say.
Here's the thing, right? Storm shields are cool. You're paying 20 points for a one-wound model with a storm bolter and a storm shield.
Yeah, that doesn't sound intelligent.
There are so fucking many armies that don't care that you have a 3-up invulnerable save because they have 100-plus minus 1 AP attacks that are going to invalidate the fact that you have that save to begin with. So there's that point. Yes, you can add a Terminator, but again, minus one is so damn prevalent, it doesn't really matter that the Terminator is there to tank you on 2+ armor saves.
Right.
In addition, if you want to deep strike a unit of veterans to give them their maximum efficacy with their Stormbolter, so shooting 4 shots at rapid fire 2 with a poison 2+ special issue ammunition round, it's a lot of shots, but you need to make sure that everything within, I'd say, 15 inches is dead, because otherwise you're going to get countercharged by whatever isn't dead yet. So that's like, what's that?
Go ahead. No, keep going.
So that's my biggest gripe, is those two things. Now, you've also got the part where, aside from the veteran and the Terminator, the other two unit choices in there aren't really contributing to the overall squad's lethality. So the Terminator makes him fearless, whoop-de-doo, gives him a 2+ armor save, awesome. He's also slow as shit with a 5-inch move, thanks a lot. Then you have the biker who, as far as I've ever seen, only really is useful for the fact that he can give him a teleport homer, which is a neat little, you know, gotcha hammer thing, but moving back to my own deployment zone isn't really what I'm looking to do with a unit like this. I want to be forward and in their face so I can use all those storm bolters.
Plus, that's what he has the scouts for, so he doesn't have to go backwards.
Well, no, but if they're in a sticky situation, that's what you use for. Is pulling them out of combat.
Right.
Like when somebody tri-points one of your veterans. Because, yeah, they can fall back and shoot, but they can't fall back when they're tri-pointed.
Right.
They don't actually have fly. The Vanguard veteran, same thing. I mean, you can take him with 2 chainswords, but, I mean, when you start taking casualties, he's going to be one of the first models that you pull because he's not a storm shield or a storm bolter.
Yeah.
Right? In addition, if you check out, actually, there's a really cool example of this. I shit-talked about it for a good hour and a half. In the European Singles Championship, Glasshammer Gaming did a Game 1 stream on Facebook Live, which is the only reason I saw it. but they had a
the inferior Facebook Live.
What's that?
The inferior Facebook streaming.
Yes. So
this is a Twitch household.
they had a stream of, and I think it might have been this guy. I'm pretty sure it was. He looked like a super fun dude to play against. He was super good attitude the whole time, which was really great to see. But it was like textbook example of why veterans suffer in a meta where Jim Vessel is king. He was playing Chaos with this list, and he had Ahriman and a couple of princes and some other guys with Smite, and literally between 3 models with Smite, they dropped 9 of the 10 models in the unit. It was hot rolling, but you pick 1 mortal wound and it's 1 dead veteran, and that's the end of the story, and they don't care that you have a 3+ invulnerable save even harder.
Yeah.
The last biggest one is the reason why, just the series of reasons why intercessors are better on all those points is they have 2 wounds, so you're losing maximum 1 to a unit that uses smite with a D3. Aggressors are stupidly good and are now, with all these leaks, are even more stupidly good. Auto bolt rifles and storm bolters are identical at ranges greater than 12 inches. And the auto bolt rifle does it from 24 inches. And now that they're going to assault 3, it's even crazier.
Mm-hmm.
I believe an intercessor is 1 more point than a storm veteran, so there's also that. And then the inceptor for the unit also has, I think, 6, definitely has 6 heavy bolter shots at 18-inch range, in addition to giving the whole unit fly. So you've got a bunch of units with a ton of offensive power that lend a ton of utility to the rest of the unit. And that's pretty much why I don't like storm veterans as much as I like intercessors.
Well, there you go.
I think that's the first person to ever talk, you know, intelligently about Death Watch in the history of this program. The rest of the list is two Smash Hammer captains. Or, well, I shouldn't say Smash. Well, they're fucking Smash captains. Black Templar Smash captains, and then three Assassins, a Kalexus, a Vindicare, and an Eversoar. Interesting he didn't bring the Kalidus, which, I mean, Assassins are very tailored to playstyle, but I would have brought that over a Vindicare, I'll be honest. Me saying that, by the way.
Well, I think what you got to look at is the fact that in the ETC format, you're allowed to, you know, tailor what kind of opponent you're playing. So I think what they're going for here is not banking on the Kalidus to be necessary, where they don't want to give up that Headhunter point, in addition to the fact that they're not going to be throwing him against a player with a ton of command points.
This is another way of saying it would be, this is not a guy that you're going to throw against a Chaos player.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was looking at, too. You would save this dude for what? Orcs? Guard?
Probably Orcs. Definitely Guard.
Gene Stealers, maybe?
That's possible. The Scouts kind of block, do a solid job of blocking out for their, you know, deployment shenanigans and denying that one key mental onslaught or similar.
Alex and Schwartz, you want to jump in on this?
Yeah, I think that it's, taking a point from Anthony a little earlier, you know, the ETC format, for those who aren't familiar with it, it's very similar to the ATC format. But, you know, you don't really get the, pick your opponent, but rather the two team captains, you know, one for each team, one for each country, essentially, will, flip a coin or roll off. And, you know, the winner gets to have their opponent put the first list down, and you then can choose as a captain, the lists in your team to then see, you know, what might be the best one against that. So say there is, you know, an Imperial Guard player, Pure Guard player, that's the first list for your opponent's team that gets thrown down. You can go, oh yeah, I got this Death Watch guy that'll do really good against it. So you pair, you respond to that IG list with your Death Watch list, and so on and so forth. You know, you guys take turns doing that as two team captains. So, you know, there's a lot there. I don't know about this list in particular. I mean, it is interesting to me, especially just being Death Watch. But, you know, I think it's like an anchor list. It looks like an anchor list to me.
All right, let's move on to Mr. Mike Porter, bringing a combined Thousand Suns and just general Chaos Demons list. Sadly, no Rubric Marines. I know we all hope and dream that we'll see him every time we talk about it, but this is just Armin, a bunch of sorcerers, a shitload of Zangors, and then what it says on the box, a mixed demons attachment. Demon Prince of Khorne, a Poxbringer, 2x3 Nurglings, and a 28 brick of Plague Bears.
Yeah, that sounds like a ton of mean right there.
This list right here, this is the exact list that you don't want to fight with Storm Veterans.
Yeah, there you go.
Anthony, go ahead, talk us through why.
Because I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 HQs that are all capable of using Smite, and Thousand Suns all don't take penalties for multiple Smite casts.
Right.
Yeah,
in addition, you've got +1s to cast on most of them. All bad things. All bad things. And then 75 Zangors is a lot of bodies to chew through, and then Nurglings are a lot of bodies to. That's 9. That's 9 wounds or 12 wounds per unit, so another 36 wounds. There's 2 units of Nurglings, and then 28 more Plague Bearers that are going to be -1. Yeah, no.
The Plague Bearers.
This list is, this is the meme Chaos list.
This is how you tarpit a Death Watch list, yes. Basically.
Yes, it will.
I love this for multiple reasons. Number one, it's got no problem with mobility, considering because it's demons. It could be everywhere. As soon as it gets in your face, you know, good luck chewing through that many bodies. And then the Plague Bearers walk across the board, gumming up the mix. It's got plenty of smite to, you know, kind of bury either single characters or small units. It knows what it does, and it does it very well. And by the way, the guy brings the Contorted Epitome. I'm fucking Schwartz, I blame you for that.
hey, I'm going to lock you in combat, and now you have to pass leadership on 3d6 to get out.
Oh, yeah, it's a...
Doesn't it have a 2 plus deny?
It doesn't, but it has denies. The problem is you give it the black gem, and then it can shut down things.
Yeah, the contorted epitome is bonkers good.
Yeah.
So yeah. Basically, once you're stuck with the plague bearers, you are not leaving.
Pretty much. Then you also have the Demon Prince of Khorne right there,
yep.
Which takes that crazy-ass axe, which will cut a knight in half.
That's a great image. That's a great image.
Yeah, it's not even... It's one-for-one exactly what happened. He jumps up, he does the pose, and then the axe comes down.
Oh, wow.
Like a John Woo film.
That'll be perfect.
You know, one of these days, next version of Dawn of War needs to have demons fighting knights, because knights versus wraith knights was just not enough. We need more.
I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with that.
Next up, my favorite list of the tournament by far, well, one of them, Mani Chima, who we have mentioned on this show before, with a full-on Strachan and Harker Katachan Brigade. With the 3x3 mortars, with the Scout Sentinel multi-lasers, and let's count them together, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 guardsmen. Oh, by the way, that's just one detachment, and it's not even 1,000 points.
That's just a crap ton of attacks coming your way in close combat. Yep. Plus the shooting's pretty potent.
And there's a priest in there, by the way.
Oh my god, that's just like so many attacks.
Doesn't even need Bulgrins.
Well... Bulgrins always help, but yeah, this is just like sheer weight of bodies.
I got your Bulgrins right here. There's 3 Smash Captains.
There you go. The replacement. Plus, you know, the 2 Librarian Dreadnoughts. That probably helps too.
Yes.
Then there's another Katachan Battalion of a Company Commander, a Primaris, Psyker for whatever reason. 3 squads of Guardsmen and 3 Wyverns.
Because it gives the... The reason for that is it gives the one of the squads fearless. And I'm assuming that he's going to combine squads.
Not with those two powers.
What did he take?
He took Barrier and Night Shroud. It's +1 to your save and -1 to hit.
Oh, even better. Okay.
Well, that's better.
Does he then mob up every single one of those guardsmen and then use the 2 powers on them and just march?
He could.
Absolutely. That's exactly what he's doing.
I mean, you could.
It's going to take you a couple turns, but still, Jesus Christ.
Between Harker, Strachan, and the Priest, I think you're looking at 3 or 4 attacks per model, rerolling ones to hit.
I think it's 4 attacks per model, rerolling ones to hit.
Fuck.
I'm gonna give
Schwartz the benefit of the doubt on that one because I don't run Katachan.
I could be wrong. Yeah. I mean, but it's just a crap ton of attacks. Is basically what you're looking at.
Other important thing, it's a Emperor's Conclave infantry company. Which their stratagems are also not to be scoffed upon.
No, definitely not.
No, it's how to turn a guardsman from middling in combat into this is probably a little overpowered for 4 points a model.
because base strength 4 wasn't enough, and fight in the shooting phase wasn't enough.
That's
the thing that people don't realize about the IG. Well, they do until they do it to you. If you're doing it right, you're getting like essentially 2 rounds of close combat every turn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Say it with me, guys. Fix bayonets.
Fix bayonets, baby. And so, like, this is sheer weight of attacks. It's just going to eventually chew through things.
This is what guards should look like if you're not running, you know, 6 tank commanders.
I mean, this is what guards should look like, period, end of statement.
Nah, don't say that to me. You're talking to the guy who ran Armored Company. Fuck off.
I'm just happy to see a list that's not Emperor's Wrath.
Oh, he took it. Don't get confused. Alex, please don't be confused. He 100% took Emperor's Wrath on the battalion with 3 Wyverns.
Oh, womp womp.
Yeah.
Womp womp womp.
Because double tapping and or half movement speed are both really good.
Just absolutely
I think
solid.
This has enough attacks to burn down that 28-man mob of plague bearers even at a -1.
You gotta get him there first.
I mean, he's coming at you. You're going at each other either way. Like, do you? Let's be
no,
real.
Plague bears don't do that.
Plague bears are not gonna do that at all. The plague bears are gonna hang out on objectives midfield or backfield, and they're gonna go like, ha 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 ha, like you can't get me. Like,
not even that. What the plague bears do is they stand there at half board, and they're basically a wall for all of the characters to cast their smites from, yep. And you can't target any of them.
Yeah.
That's plague bearers.
Yeah. I honestly think between 3x3 mortars that are re-rolling the number of shots and probably re-roll once to hit from the company and platoon commander, the wyverns doing what wyverns do to infantry models, and that many guardsmen, I'm pretty sure he's got enough to burn that down.
Obviously it's a bit more specialized because of the format, but this is very much the core of one of the most competitive lists you have right now, which is just taking advantage of the guard's ability to just stack massive amounts of attacks for the costs.
We used to stack fucks like you 5 feet high and use you for sandbags.
I mean, that's kind of what they do. Just throw endless bodies at them and attack until everything is dead.
Yep. Anthony Chu coming in with Craft World, and I don't even think I need to talk about this list because we already know what it is.
We need a rapid fire version of the Monty Python coconuts so that we can just make that sound of person rolling his face on the keyboard.
I like that.
We'll give it to everyone just so you know what it is. Craft World Eldar and Drukhari, two air wing detachments and a battalion. Count them, boys. 2, 4, 6, 9 Eldar Flyers. 2 Void Ravens, 2 Razor Wings, 2 Crimson Hunters, and 3 Crimson Hunter Exarchs, because you're allowed to do that for some reason.
And normally I don't want to shame someone for taking just like a face-on-keyboard list, especially with ETC, when it's not so much about like the list you run and more like you as a team decide what lists are going to be the most efficient for what you think the other teams are going to bring in terms of counters, in terms of take all comers. But like, this took a lot of originality. This is easily one of the most original lists I've ever seen. And it's crazy. It's definitely just like a staple of its own, and it is a signal of its time. It is just...
I mean, you're right. It is very original and impressive. And you have to think about how many games he played with this to kind of really hone it in.
4?
I mean, this is... honestly, I'll ask you this. If you brought your Death Watch against this, could you board this guy before he leaves his deployment zone?
Absolutely not.
No?
This list will run a train on me.
So you don't think you could get rid of an Autarch, a Skyrun, 2 Skyrunners, 20 Guardians, and 10 Rangers?
Negative.
I want everyone to remember we talked about another list that was very similar. And that was your guys' argument is, well, why don't you just board his battalion?
Because Eldar Flyers are exceedingly good at making sure you can't get to where you need to get to.
Yep.
We were just giving, you know, armchair general advice. It's not like we know anything. Let's be real.
You talk about anything in a vacuum and it's not going to work.
Yeah, seriously.
I think the guard player might have had a guard player to have a shot at boarding this guy.
The guard player maybe, simply because he's not going to be able to kill that many guardsmen, but still, he's gonna have to get there.
He's 100% losing all the guardians and all the rangers first round of shooting.
Depends on who goes first.
Correct.
Yeah.
Next up.
Because the problem is, hold on real quick, the problem with that Eldar list is, if you don't go first against it, he will kill the things that can kill his.
Yeah, what I was gonna say.
Correct answer. Next up, Matt Robertson bringing one of the newer combinations of Imperial Knight and Admech. We're looking at 1 Knight Warden, 3 Crusaders. This is House Tyrannus. And then the Rusty 17.
Their mechanic is household, so they can act on full profile, and they get back up on a 4+. Oh.
Yeah. So
basically, they get back up on a 4+ with D3 wounds remaining.
Yes.
And with the Mechanicus CP, they act at full profile, so they're basically zombie knights.
kind of love that.
Well, it's true. You kill them. You're like, haha. Wait, no. Here's a 4+. And then wait, no. They shoot. They're full occupant. Full power. Die.
Dude, how does this army have 14 fucking command points?
Because you get 6 for having 3 big knights.
I know.
And then you get...
I just hate that rule. You should not have 14 goddamn command points when your list is 21 models.
Why? I mean, like.
What do you mean, why?
All right, well, dude, let's not raise his blood pressure here.
Is it 21 models? Is it even 21 models,
though? Yeah,
it's
4 knights, 15 Skitarii, and 2 tech priests. 21.
21.
Yeah,
all right.
It's the Rusty 17. It's the Rusty 17 and 4 knights.
Why does he have one random unit of Lucius Rangers?
Because he can.
All right, fair enough. I don't think we really need to talk about what this list does when it's 4 Avenger Gatling Cannons, 3 Thermal Lances, and a Thunderstrike Gauntlet.
I think the word DACA comes to mind.
One gun shoots at vehicles, one gun shoots at infantry. Next turn. next up, Benedict Arnold. I'm sorry, Nick Nanavati. Bringing Gene Stealer Cult. Twisted Helix, Anointed Throng Detachment. For those who don't remember, this is the way to make Aberrants ridiculously good in close combat.
This is...
Go ahead.
No, this is Muscle Beach. That's the name of his list. That's what he calls it.
Muscle Beach?
Yeah, because it's a shit ton of Aberrants that do all the work.
That's amazing.
This is, I think I remember this one is the one where you could get something like 4 to 6 attacks per Aberrant.
It's something nonsensical. But then, I mean, he's built a solid list here because he's got a ton of ways to do all the things that make people upset about Gene Stealer Cults. He's got a way to do the, I believe he's got the Attilan Jackals in there, doesn't he?
No.
Maybe not. Okay. So he's got Flamers. He's got Demo Charges. He's got the Clamavis. He's got the Brood. Like, he's got all the stuff that makes the... Basically, all the things that make Gene Stealer Cult opponents upset. And he's got the command points to do it, which is really what the important thing here is.
Yep. We should... I do also want to mention that this list is like 150 models, and it only has 3 more command points than the Knight list. Just saying. Just saying. 3 times the kill points, only 3 more command points.
Hey, don't be jealous of nobility's ability to generate command points.
Command point inequality.
Command point inequality.
We have to seize control of the means of command point production.
Oh my god.
That's right.
Oh my god.
Next up, Courtney Rhodes bringing a proper orc list. 32 command... Fuck. 32 kill points, 17 command points. I can't wait. What do we got
here? I think it has orcs in it. That's my guess.
Well, no, but here's the fun part. It's a dread mob, so a big mech,
oh,
a
big
boy, 30 grots, and then 23 smash guns.
Holy shit.
Then 2 more weird boys, don't forget. 47 orc boys in the 2nd battalion, and then... I can't math this high. 83 orc boys and 2 war bosses in the last battalion. It's
so basically bodies and death.
It's not quite the green tide, but it's a lot of bodies in front of a lot of guns with a lot of weird boys around, including everyone's favorite power, De Yump.
De Yump. De Yump.
We don't pronounce J's. This is California.
God.
That's a meta joke. That's meta as fuck. Not really as many grots as a regular list. I do want to point that out. Like, by about a quarter.
Does he need that many grots given all this?
I mean, it doesn't hurt to bring them. Like, there's a lot of points in the tank busta bombs and the choppers that could have gone into, you know, grots.
Yeah, okay. I see you. I hear you.
Don't leave me alone on this, guys. Somebody else give me something.
You've already said it. It's got a bunch of bodies, and the artillery platforms definitely help out a lot.
I'm still mad that we didn't see somebody bring any tractor cannons just to go headhunting for Eldar players.
Let it go. That it's not going to see any combat use, actually.
Well, you're no fucking fun.
Come on. Why don't you just go back to that yacht and drink your spritzer?
It's called a shell. It's called a rowing shell. Thank you very much, because I pull myself around the boat.
Real quick. If I wear a polo shirt, do I have to wear the one with the alligator on it, or do I have to wear the one with the horse on it?
It's a Lacoste, you Philistine uncivilized bastard.
I think if you edit that out, you got to call me an uncultured swine for that one.
I'm just calling you. I'm not allowed to call anyone a Philistine around here.
Really, that is kind of Vince's MO here.
All right, let's wrap it up with James Ramsey's six. See, okay, this is what I'm talking about when I say command point inequality. He has six command points. I don't understand. It makes no sense. All right. One fire blade. Looks like that's a fuckload of broadsides. Is that 11 broadsides? That's 9 broadsides? Do I count that right?
One, two, three.
It's nine broadsides with 15 shield drones.
Then, oh my god.
Then another 12 shield drones, and then 18 gun drones. And then he brought... Oh my god, he brought Pathfinders. Somebody stop the fucking presses.
Well, I mean, he's using it...
Not using it for marker lights. He's got Firesight Marksman for that.
Yeah, well, he's going to clearly need more marker lights.
Well, you always need more marker lights.
Yeah, you can never have enough marker lights. I mean, this list is clearly designed to do one thing. Blow infantry off the table.
With that many high yields, you're blowing everything off the table.
Yeah, but it's clearly designed to counter, like, the IG list that we just discussed. Because I'm sure someone was bringing an IG list similar to that. And it'd be like, and 40 guardsmen are dead. Next turn. And 40 guardsmen are dead.
That's true. Josh had basically nothing that could bite heavy armor in that list.
Yeah, this list is the perfect counter to, like, a massive infantry. Either, like, orcs, IG, or gene stealers. Just, like,
What is Diak Grek? I have never seen that before.
Tau special character from Blackstone Fortress.
What does it do?
He does D3 mortal wounds when you move within a terrain feature the first time you do it. It's once per game. He's not that great.
You take him because he's a character and he's like honestly dirt cheap.
Yeah.
He is fucking cheap. This is not the kind of Tau list I would expect to see at any kind of competitive event, I have to admit. Go ahead.
No, this is a really well done list because it's going so it does a lot of what Brian Poland's Tau list does, where turn one it Monka's up the table, so it's going to be moving and advancing and then shooting as if it hadn't done either of those things. Turn one with 18 high yield missile pods.
Yes.
And 18 smart missile systems.
Also, yes.
God.
So that's a shit ton of -1 and -2 shots that are at minimum strength 5 ignoring cover and at minimum strength 7 -2. So you're going to obliterate whatever you want. Then you've also got the fact that one of these broadsides also has, I believe in all three units it looks like. One of the broadsides has a drone controller. So all of those drones, all 18 of those gun drones right there, are going to be putting down 4 shots each.
That's hilarious.
So you have 72 gun drone shots.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So
72 strength 5 gun drones at ballistic skill 4.
Yep.
Rerolling ones to hit with a single marker light.
Also, yes.
So, yeah, this list is absolutely competitive. The problem is, in most competitive environments, it is going to get touched really easily by something. And that's why the ETC is so great, because you don't have to worry about getting touched by things. I mean, even if this showed up to a local tournament here, it would be very, very well. I think it would do very well, because people don't understand how to touch those broadsides that quickly. And you're also looking at Taucept reciprocating fire.
Yeah.
And then if anything is left by the end of turn one, then on turn two, he's going to Kao Yan, and then he's going to spend one command point for the command and control node on Shadow Sun so that all of those broad, so that one of those broadside units does what broadside units do even better. So yeah, there's a lot of layers here.
See, Vince, there really is no command point inequality.
No, of course not.
Seize the means of reproduction.
Seize the means of
reproduction.
Shooting. Reproduction, seriously.
I couldn't find the word. It was supposed to be regeneration, but Tau don't have that.
Yeah, seize the means of bullet production is what they've done here.
Bullet production.
All right. This is old school Soviet Union shit, man. You just like load them up with machine guns and just go to town.
There you go, guys. That is your ETC Championship Group of Six. Death Watch.
Five and a Benedict Arnold.
Five and a Benedict Arnold, correct. Death Watch, Demons, Blood Angels and Guard, Eldar, Flyers, Quad Knights, Gene Stealer Cult, Orcs, and Tau. So, pretty good. I have to say, for the people who worry about the internal balance of 40K, the ETC winning team kind of laughs at you and says, suck my dick.
Well, also, by definition, they can't bring the same codex twice.
100%, but, you know, it's not... Where's the Lord? Where's the Disco Lords?
Because if we did that, then we'd see six Eldar flyer lists.
That's fair. And then I might actually see the dream of somebody bringing Tractocannons. Just kidding, that's never going to happen. Of course, we said that about Ludas, and one day Benedict Arnold did fulfill my fantasy.
Hey, hang on. Did you look through all 920 whatever lists? Because I'm sure the ETC team that came in 19th place out of 18 teams probably had Tractocannons in their list for that Dark Eldar matchup.
I'm just going to let that go. I'm not going to...
let's see. Number 19 was Romania.
Oh man, he's gonna come out here with the numbers.
To be fair, I thought there were 50 teams.
There were 36 teams.
36 teams.
Mind you, Argentina came in 32nd, and I love the fact that Argentina is in the ETC now.
I mean, yeah.
Did Venezuela go?
No, it didn't.
Take a wild guess.
I'm gonna start an El Salvadorian team. Who wants to join?
I'm going to go call the guy I used to work as an electrician with.
Alex, come on. You can join me. I'll nationalize you.
Dude, why? Okay, no. You know what? Now that you said that, why doesn't Puerto Rico have a fucking ETC team?
I'm going to say it in the simplest way possible. That's been tried.
Really?
I will talk about that later.
That's
has been tried.
Bullshit. Fuck.
There's
ETC.
Also there's also other things that have been tried within the United States, which are pretty funny. But there's a whole episode you can make about that, so we won't get into that.
Cool. I like the fact that there are two United Nations teams. That's really cool.
No, it's stupid because if we can't send Puerto Rico, then the United Nations shouldn't be a thing.
Here's another thing that you're also forgetting. You're forgetting sovereign land within the United States that is outside of the United States.
What, sovereign citizens?
No, take a wild guess.
The Virgin Islands?
No.
Alaska? Hawaii?
Do I have to give this to you guys?
Wait, sovereign territory outside of the United States?
Within the United States.
Like Native Americans? Like
yes.
The Seminoles?
The Seminoles. Yes. That would be fucking incredible.
Why not?
Exactly. All in all, I will say it's been tried.
So wait, let's just be clear. England, Ireland, Wales, Northern Ireland can all send a team, but we can't, and Scotland, but we can't send a Native American squad. Fuck you, ETC.
Hey, you know what? We're gonna have to edit that one out.
Let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about how Ireland and Northern Ireland view themselves as separate countries.
We are getting super off topic here.
Because that never happens to us.
Can we talk about Space Marines? Can we talk about Space Marines?
I was just about to say that, but I wanted to rant about, you know, Europe sucks.
No!
Jesus, Schwartz, that's what I was talking about when I said don't blow the speakers out.
Sorry. I'm getting edited out.
Well, see, it was because he had his cocktail so close to his mic, and the spritzer.
It's called the spritz.
It's the sound of his yacht that makes so much noise.
That was the foghorn. That wasn't actually Schwartz.
Yeah.
Are you traversing the Golden Gate Passage on your way out to a party in the middle of the Pacific for the night?
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly.
He's actually taking a direct cruise from San Francisco to
El Salvador to start his ETC squad.
I'll just take a flight back home for the love of God.
But all right, as Schwartz said, let's go talk about the rest of Space Marines that is starting to leak out.
starting.
I am burning my voice fairly quickly. Somebody take over on this one.
Yes. All right. Let me take this over, and then I'm going to get reactions from people as we go down the points. So,
let's do the summary, and then we'll go over to the points, yeah?
Fine.
Just so people know what we're talking, so there's some context for these point changes.
All right. So let's go down. So we've already discussed all of the updated chapter tactics for the established chapters.
Yep.
But there is the ability to build your own chapters. Woo! And you can actually use it in match play, unlike, you know, previous editions where it was just like bullshit that you made up in your garage. Well, it's true. So that you can choose two out of the following 18. I'm going to go through like those that are good. Reroll wants to hit for bolt weapons. That's a bad. Born Hero, 6-inch heroic interventions. Heroic intervention. Fearsome Aspect. Yeah, it's bad. Fearsome Aspect, 3-inch bubble of -1 leadership. Bad. Hungry for Battle, +1 to advance or charge distance. That's pretty good. When you consider the fact that now all Space Marines get +1 attack in close combat when they charge, our charge, or heroically intervene. Indomitable. No more than one model can flee. You will never use that one because you have initial no fear, and most of your Space Marine units are only like 5 men and below. So you only have one model fleeing anyway if you're doing it right.
Who is pounding on the table?
Sorry. Not me.
Like Schwartz was doing it. I'm not going to go there. Continue.
Yes, I'm not doing it.
I'm not. I didn't do it.
I caught you there.
Nope.
Gotcha.
All right. Knowledge is power. Oh, power. Reroll any or all dice rolls for your psychic or deny the witch, which is, I guess, useful if you're bringing a lot of librarians, but I don't see why. Long range marksman, +3 inches of range to range weapons. That's pretty freaking good, especially when you combo it with Master Artisans, which is reroll single hit or reroll a wound when shooting, fighting, or declaring Overwatch. You combo long range marksman with Master Artisan, and you bring a couple of vehicles, and you go to town with the shootings.
Why wouldn't you combine that with Rapid Assault?
That's not bad.
11-inch flamers.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, okay, all right, that's cute. Preferred enemy, no one will ever take because you basically get to choose a faction, and when resolve melee weapon attack, you get to reroll hits, so, you know, that's useless. Silence of the Forge.
Game.
Wait, yeah, well, okay, yeah, but you can't, can you?
Yeah, you can.
Oh my God.
Does it say at the beginning of a game? I don't think it does. No, it says when you select this tactic. So you pick one when you build the army.
So no.
Okay.
That's a disappointment.
Yeah.
It'd be way too fucking good if you could pick it at the start of every game.
Well, there's armies a lot more recently that come out where there's a lot of stuff that you pick at the beginning of the battle and not necessarily in the army list.
Anyway.
Scions of the Forge, models with the damage table have double numbers of wounds remaining when determining which damage characteristics is used.
Man, if only Man Raiders were good.
Well, they're cheaper now. Hint, hint. Stalwart, when resolving an attack against a unit with this rule, an unmodified wound roll of 1 or 2 always fails. So that's not bad.
So this came up. This came up a little while ago, and I have never understood the explanation for why it's not good.
Because most things that are going to be shooting on Space Marines are going to be wounding them on 3 anyway.
But, yeah, you're not wasting las cannon shots or heavy bolts or shots.
But you are wasting, I mean, you are not spending plasma.
Not I mean, like, it depends on what your loadout is.
Or a battle cannon?
Yeah. Yeah,
but... Anthony, can you jump in on this one?
Please.
I've got nothing here. I'm not... There's so much. There's so much. What do you want me to start with? What you
why that one's me, why that one's not great comparatively?
Which one specifically? Sorry.
When resolving an attack against a unit with this rule, an unmodified roll of one or two always fails. Explain to me why that's not good. Not I didn't say it's great. I asked why is it not good?
Because there are so many things that are strength five.
That's true, yeah, so but there's also a lot of fucking things that are strength higher than five.
You need a strength eight weapon to get to one and twos against
any,
Space Marines.
Is there any shortage of strength eight flying around?
No. But I guarantee you there's more strength five. That
yeah, seriously.
That had nothing that was strength eight.
Yeah.
And everything that was strength five.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, oh, you can't hurt me, Brian. I have stalwart. I have unmodified wound rolls of ones and twos. It's like, that's great. I wound you on threes. Die.
Right, but
and
you're
then
not,
Brian
you're
just
not
walks over you.
You're not taking it for one specific list. You're talking about reducing the, you know, efficiency of an entire section of weapons
so,
by, you know, what, damn near a fifth.
All right. Okay, Vince, I'll admit, it's really great if the only person you play is a Death Watch player who runs Stormbolters.
Or if you're running against a guy that runs Caladius.
No, because Caladiuses don't actually use the Caladiuses to shoot troops. They use their bikers to kill troops.
Which their main weapon is strength. Say it with me, people.
Eight.
Strength.
Well, if you're talking about the Hurricane Bolter, it's four.
Yeah, I was going to say strength four.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Caladius.
He's talking about the whatever the Melta weapon is on the bikes.
No, I'm literally talking about the fact that they Hurricane Bolters.
Children, let's move on. Vince, you're wrong. Let's go. Stealthy unit counts as having the benefits of cover when being shot at from a greater than 12 inches. Stoic, plus one leadership. Tactical withdrawal, ability to charge and to turn and fell back. That's not bad.
We already talked about this in the last episode.
If you combine tactical withdrawal and rapid assault, you're basically not as good White Scars.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's why I'm saying I think realistically, unless you specifically tailor, we're going to get to it. Warded, 5+ save against mortal wounds. That's okay. Whirlwind of range, melee attack during charge or when charged scores an additional hit on unmodified sixes. So, like, really, when you can look for the best combo seems to be long range plus Master Artisan or
Again,
Hungry for Battle.
I don't think Master Artisan is as good as Rapid Assault.
That single reroll to hit and single reroll to wound is pretty good when you consider a tank.
Okay, but what happens if you have, like, five or six shots?
Well, then you're not running that combo.
Right, that's my point. Like, Master Artisan is cool if, like, you have a las cannon in a squad of tactical marines. Like, it's not that good.
I think it's more... Okay, fair point. Hungry for Battle and Whirlwind of Range is also a pretty good combo where you get the plus one to advance or charge and you get the ability to get additional attacks on sixes. That'd be pretty interesting given the new Angels of Death rule, which gives you additional attacks on charges, too. But I think it's fair to say that unless you build a list specifically designed to maximize it, and even then, the actual chapter tactics that you're getting from the 8 standard chapters are better.
Yeah.
Alright, so let's go down. Even though we're not going over the points yet, I would just like to know that people, Girly Man went down.
Yeah.
Girly Man went down but lost the reroll wounds aura.
It's now re-rolled once. So he didn't lose it. He just got nerfed.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, it's still fantastic.
But Ultramarine players think they're not competitive anymore, ignoring the fact that they have a whole other book.
Yeah, well, it helps.
And they have they have a lot of really fucking good rules. Like of really fucking good rules.
I mean, yeah, realistically, it just means that we're just going to see other Space Marine chapters.
Oh, you mean like, I wonder how many blue scars, I'm sorry, white scars we're going to see.
Ooh.
Actually, I have red scars, thank you very much.
I mean, you're proving my point for me, Schwartz.
Yeah, okay, fine. So you have a new discipline, which is the same as the discipline that we've talked beforehand, which is the one that came out with the Shadow Spear box set. We can go over the powers. First one is Precognition, warp charge value 5. If manifested, then until the start of your next psychic phase, the psychic has a 5+ impulse save. Meh. When resolving attack made against this psychic, subtract 1 to hit roll. Oh no, your psychic is slightly harder to kill. Scryer's Gaze, warp charge value of 7. If manifested, your army is battleforged. You can choose to immediately gain 1 command point. That's not bad. If you choose not to, then once this turn, when resolving an attack made by the Maul from a friendly enemy Ultramarines unit within 18 inches, you can reroll the hit, wound, or damage roll. Okay, I take that back.
That power is extremely good.
Yeah, it is.
Like, that's... If there's... It does, now, I just want to be clear. Does it pick a unit? Or does this any unit within 18? I don't see clarification on that.
It's a model from a friendly Ultramarines unit within... Well, its unit is within 18 inches.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
Correct. Once this turn. So you're allowed to pick one model from one unit within 18 inches. You can reroll the hit wound or damage roll, and it has to be Ultramarines. All right, I'm good.
Well, I mean, I guess you're just going to pick Gulliman and just go for it every time.
Yeah, every single time.
Or like a Smash Captain. Okay, Telepathic Assault has a warp charge value of 7. Oh, I need to say this beforehand. This table is only for Ultramarines.
The Indomitus Discipline. I like the word. Indomitus is actually kind of cool. The Indomitus Rex.
Anyway, Telepathic Assault, warp charge value of 7. If manifest, select one enemy unit within 24, invisible to the psycho, roll 2d6, and add 2 to the results of... the unit suffers 1 mortal wound for each point by which the total exceeds. So it's basically your standard issue. You have a low leadership. I roll a 2d6. Hopefully go higher than you. Add 2. You take X amount of mortal wounds.
So, I mean, what's the most you can get out of this? So the highest you can roll is technically a 14. So the most you'll ever get is what? Like, not, you can get 9 mortal wounds out of this, I think.
Yeah, but realistically, the average dice roll is going to be 7, plus 2 is 9. Leadership is going to be 6 or 7, so you're going to get 2 mortal wounds out of this.
Right, I'm just wondering what's the very best you could get out of that, which is what anybody who's going to take that power is going to be thinking about.
Okay, Storm of the Emperor's Wrath. Warp charge of 6. If manifest, select the nearest enemy unit that is within 18 inches and visible to the psyker. Roll 1d6 for each model in that unit. For each 6, that unit suffers 1 mortal wound.
Useless.
It's not bad.
It's worth what?
If you have
Schwartz, I'm cutting you off here because you're wrong. There is 0 point to this power when you have Scryer's Gaze available to you, and you can just be regenning a command point every turn.
Yeah, fair point.
I'm sorry. I don't want to be that guy, but let's be perfectly real. The opportunity cost of a command point compared to a single wound on a model within on a unit within 18 of you, that's fucking pointless.
Well, I mean, if you're running into a 30-man blob, you could, in theory, generate 5 or 6 mortal wounds.
Or you could get a command point and do a lot more damage with a shooting.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No, okay.
You know what, Vince? You're right. Let's move on.
Okay. Letting him off easy.
I'm allowed to be right once in a while, fucker.
I know you are. Psychic Shackles. Warp charge of value of 6. If manifest, select one enemy unit within 18 inches and visible to the psyker until the start of your next psychic phase. Have the move characteristic of the models in that unit. And when a charge roll or advance roll is made for that unit, subtract 1 for that roll. That's actually that's pretty good. A unit cannot be affected by both this second power and the Tendrous Curse second power at the same time, which is probably...
That's coming out of the White Scars, if I remember. No.
It's a Vanguard power, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okie dokie, let's do it.
So I just want to point out that one might actually have more of a use than people think. If you were to decide to include an Emperor's Wrath detachment with your Ultramarines, you technically reduce somebody's movement by 75%.
Or you could just reduce two of their units to half, which is probably better.
So like Adeline Jackals, you could fucking ruin them with
Tanglefoot grenades.
No, in honor of our good friend, yeah, we'll listen to Tanglefoot grenades.
You could say in honor of our friend, but the fact is, that's a great fucking threat.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing. But, you know, if you have the choice of detachments, I don't think many people are going to pick infantry custodes.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, and last but not least, Empiric Channeling has a warp charge value of 5. So, like, one other friendly Ultramarines Librarian model within 12 inches until the end of the psychic phase. When a psychic test is taken for that model, add 2 to the total, and that model does not suffer perils of the warp on roll of double 1 or double 6s. Scryer's Gaze is the best one by far.
I mean, if you're going to take like 2 or 3 Librarians, Empiric Channeling might be kind of cool. It does give a middle finger to that. What is that chaos thing we were looking at a couple weeks ago, Alex, that you were upset about? The Knight's Rule, where any doubles forces apparels?
Yeah, Demonic Surge.
That one.
Yeah, but that got FAQ'd into Oblivion, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Well, no, because it was before that it was any roll. We thought it was going to be any roll of a test, but it's any roll of a double, right?
It's any roll of a double.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and Psychic Shackles is also not bad. All right, let's go down to things that people want to hear about. Let's call it a stratagems, because those are the best part.
Well, what's up, Alex?
No, nothing.
Well, real quick, we don't skip over the White Scars are also getting their own psychic discipline.
Thrilling.
Wow, he seems real stoked.
I mean, if we're talking about White Scar's bikes are going to be, you know, getting play, which both of you agreed they probably would be.
Oh, they definitely will.
So then why would you skip this?
I wouldn't skip it. Yo, I think that...
No, I was talking to Schwartz.
Yeah, no, I'm being sarcastic for once. Blasting Gale. So this is the White Scar's, the storm-speaking discipline. Oh my god, these names are amazing. Blasting Gale. Warp charge value of 7. If manifest, select one enemy unit within 18 inches invisible to the psyker until the start of your next psychic phase. That unit cannot advance, and when a charge roll is made for it, roll one fewer d6 to a minimum of 1d6. Typically, that means one. Anyway, so that's actually a good way of slowing down your opponents. There's a lot of good combos, because you can also take the Thunderfire stratagem on that. That could be really potent.
Storm Lord, anti-Swarm Lord plus Gene Stealer stratagem.
Yeah, seriously. Lightning Call has a warp charge value of 7. If manifest, the closest enemy unit within 18 inches of the psyker suffers d3 mortal wounds. If that unit is not destroyed, roll a 1d6 on a 4+ that suffers one mortal wound. Then, if that unit is still not destroyed, roll 1d6 on a 5+ that suffers one more mortal wound, etc.
You max out at 6 mortal wounds with that one.
Yeah, but you got to be rolling super hot to get there.
Well, it's a 50%, a 33, and then a 16. So
yeah,
it's not super hot. You're looking probably at an average of 4.
Okay. Ride the Wind has a warp charge value of 6. If manifest, select one friendly White Scars unit within 12 inches of the sacker until the start of your next second phase. When an advanced roll or charge roll is made for that unit, add 2 to the results. That's really good for White Scar bikes. Ride the Winds is going to be very useful.
Yeah, they're not going to be failing a lot of charges.
Yeah, they're going to be up the board. Storm Wreath has a warp charge value of 6. If manifest, select one friendly White Scars unit within 12 inches of the psyker until the start of your next psychic phase. Enemy units cannot fire Overwatch at that unit. That's also good. And after that unit finishes a charge move for each model in that unit, you can select one enemy unit within 1 inch of that model and roll a d6. On the 6, that enemy unit suffers a mortal wound. So you combine Ride to Win with Storm Wreath, that makes some really good potent charging bikes.
Yeah, that's called the Fuck You Broadsides and Riptide stratagem.
Yeah, that's actually really good. That's really a good combo. You put that on a like big blob of bikes, that's going to cause some pain.
Well, Well, it's, what it's going to do is it's going to lock everything in a certain area up, and then you just can't leave. You don't get Overwatch, so they're all hitting you at full strength with Shock Assault. You're going to get chewed the fuck up because it's White Scars, and it's probably going to be a decent number of attacks. And then you're not going anywhere unless you have Fly, which some things do and some things don't. So you're going to ruin somebody's whole battle line if you set that combo off correctly.
Spirits of...
Chigoris.
Thank you. Has a warp charge value.
Why do I know that and he doesn't?
Because... Yeah, that's a really good question.
Anthony, come on.
Okay, fine. If manifest to like one enemy unit within 18 inches invisible of Psyker until the start of your next Psyker phase, subtract one for leadership characteristics of the model, and when resolving an attack made by that model unit, subtract one for the hit rolls. If you're taking that for the minus one to hit.
Yeah.
Eye of the Storm. Warp charge value. Okay, fine, it's shit. All right, so really the good ones are Ride the Winds and Storm Wreath, which is good because they synergize very well with what White Scars want to do, which is like lots of speed, lots of close combat, lots of in-your-face, death.
Blasting Gale's not bad if you're going to take multiple librarians just for the ability to manipulate what your opponent can and cannot do. There are going to be certain matchups where it's fucking disgusting, like against like a mirror matchup, and then there's going to be other ones where the guy goes, yeah, I don't advance.
Or I don't need to charge you. Everyone knows Starker Bolt rifles have now changed to damage 2. Yeah, we talked about that. New points, or should we go to stratagems?
Let's do stratagems.
All right.
I'll take over Schwartz. I'll jump out. I'll take back over on this
one. Yeah, do it.
There are going to be 4 pages of stratagems. None of them are chapter specific, but there are going to be 2 more pages of chapter specific ones in each of the supplements, which is fucking retarded. First one is suppressing fire. 2 command points shooting when a whirlwind or thunderfire cannon, which has not moved, can shoot twice but cannot. I'm sorry, that can't be right. Somebody's fucked these up. Hold up, running it back.
No, it definitely is.
Oh no, it may fire a second time in a unit it cannot see. Did we talk about this?
Yes, we did. Anthony and I both agree it's good. Anthony and I both agree it's good.
All right. Oh, here's the last one. There's we definitely talked about the obscuration a while ago. The obscuration discipline from Vanguard. All right, let's talk about the fucking points changes.
Wait, why? There's like 18 different stratagems.
Didn't we talk about them?
Because we don't have time.
Since when?
That's fair.
Okay, fair point. All right.
Let's speed run the stratagems. Agreed?
Okay. Agreed.
All right. Rapid fire, 2 command points. An intercessor squad tweets their bolt rifles as rapid fire 2 until the end of the phase. Suppressing fire. When a whirlwind or thunderfire that has not moved fires, it may fire a second time. As long as it's at a target it cannot see. Death to traitors. In the fight phase, a chosen unit melee weapons gets additional attacks on an unmodded hit roll of 6 against Heretic Chaos Marines. Yeah, no, that's bad. I take it back. The little guys that we talked about last week, what are they called? The Incursors? I mean, they're throwing 4 or 5 attacks each. That might not be bad.
Maybe.
Duty Eternal, when a Dreadnought is attacked until the end of the phase, damage done to the Dreadnought is halved, rounded up.
That might not be bad for the infiltrating Dreadnought.
Veteran Intercessor, use 1 command point for a 5 model unit, 2 CP for 6+. In the Intercessor unit gains +1 attack and +1 leadership. The Boltstorm Intercessor squad with auto bolt rifles, they automatically hit... I'm sorry, what? Automatically hit targets that are within half range of the auto bolt rifle.
Yeah, this is the same thing from the Specialist attachment.
That's fucking nasty.
Yeah, but you gotta be within half range.
Just double checking on that one. The Hunter Slayer missile, repulsor tank only. Target vehicle or monstrous creature takes D3 mortal wounds, 1 use per repulsor. Gravitic amplification, grav cannon with grav amp, reroll wound and damage rolls. Hammer of Wrath, a jump pack unit when charging rolls a D6 for each model. On a 5+, it causes a mortal wound. That's pretty fucking good. Big guns never tire. Chosen Space Marine vehicle does not suffer penalties to moving and shooting with a heavy weapon. What Space Marine vehicle does that?
Predators.
Vindicators.
That's not the new repulsor.
Because anyone is going to take Vindicators.
I mean, they're good.
Yeah, you might now.
I don't know if a minus one to hit is going to suddenly make Vindicators good.
No, no, no. You don't take it because it shoots. It's good gun. It's gun. You take it because it does the Necron Mortal Wound thing.
Yep.
Okay. Fury of the First, at the beginning of any phase, pick a chosen Terminator unit. Until the end, add plus one to its hit rolls. Targets sighted. This is the 3 command point one we mentioned to Anthony that broke his heart. Intercessor squad with Stalker Bolters make target characters as if they were the closest, and they now cause a mortal wound on a 6+.
Dude, you bring 10 of those bad boys, they're going to take out freaking characters like left and right. And then you're going to run out of command points.
Exactly. It's fucking command point intensive. Steady advance. If it moved, select an infantry unit. If it moved, you apply Bolter Discipline as if the unit hasn't moved. Skilled rider, biker, or land speeder. If they if the unit moves, it gains a 4+ invul. If it advanced, it gains a 3+. Hello, white scars again.
Yep.
Hero of the chapter, 1 command point. Pick a character that is not your warlord. It gains a warlord trait.
Not bad.
Go ahead.
I really like that. That's awesome.
Yeah, we both really like that. That's really good.
Yeah, put that in an army that already takes a specialist attachment. Now you have 3 warlord traits. Transhuman physiology, non-vehicle or servitor unit. Until the end of the phase, when attacked, you ignore unmodified rolls to wound of 1, 2, or 3.
We've already covered how that's okay.
Well, it's better than the original because it's up to 3 now, but sure, why not? Ignoring 1/3 of wounds isn't good.
It's funny that you don't want to die.
Vengeance of the Machine Spirit is 2 command points. Used when a Land Raider, Repulsor, or Storm Raven goes to 0. You choose to automatically explode, and you make a ranged attack as if it was the shooting phase, or a melee attack as if it was the fight phase.
That thing is really fucking good on a Repulsor, or the Repulsor Exterminator. Yeah. Anthony, back me up, for the love of God.
I don't think anybody's questioning that that's good.
Okay, well.
It's 1 shooting attack. It's not the whole thing shoots.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you could get 1 more round out of the plasma weapon on a Repulsor, that's probably not bad.
No. But God forbid you ever fucking take the plasma gun on the executioner.
I'm just saying. Tactical flexibility, 1 command point. Used at the start of your movement phase. Any number of units that number 10 make combat squad into units of 5. And then adaptive strategy. At the start of the round, if there's a character on the field, rather than change combat doctrines of normal, you may change assault doctrine to tactical or tactical to devastator doctrine.
So that's really good. That's
probably the one you're going to see a lot of.
Yeah, that's really good. And then the last one is Primaris units in a fight phase. It's called Might. 1 CP on modified rolls of 6 automatically hit and wound, which is actually really good with a lot of attacks.
And we will save all of... Jesus, there's a lot of changes. Just in war gear. Look at this.
Well, we can go over it. I mean, I can read them out and like Anthony, and or you can read them out and Anthony... Here's the biggest ones I find.
Do we want to do the lightning? We'll call it our first ever lightning round. I'll throw out a points change. You guys tell me if it's good. Ready?
Yeah.
Apothecaries have gone down 5 points. Yay or nay?
That's not bad. That's fine.
Assault Marines down from 13 to 12. Yay or nay?
Nope. No one will take them anyway.
Yeah.
Captain and Captain
Schwartz. How about we take this in turns? You go, then I'll go.
Deal. You go next.
No. I mean, like, we're both going to talk, but you talk first, and then I say what I think.
Deal.
We don't want it to be organized. Captain in Cataphracti armor, down 2 points. Schwartz.
No one will take it.
Anthony.
No one takes them.
Captain in Phobos armor, down 20 points.
I don't even know what it looks like.
It's the guy with the bolt rifle.
It's the infiltrating one.
Actually, wait. The only reason why I would do that is because the new infiltrators, they can take an upgrade that allows them to basically use his bubble to reroll hits anywhere on the bold on the board. So if you're running,
did you say the bald?
Yes, the bald. Anywhere on the board. So if you're using 3 units of infiltrators and you're paying for that upgrade, it might you can really use the Phobos armor guy because basically all those infiltrators are just rerolling the hit board wide.
Also worth noting, if you have a lieutenant on the board, you get the exact same bonus and you can stack them.
Well, there you go. So reroll once. So yeah, that's not bad. That's the only reason why I would run a captain in Phobos armor.
But you don't need to have a Phobos armor captain, I don't think.
No, you need the captain in order to get the reroll the once, reroll the hit, and you get the lieutenant in order to get the reroll one to wound.
Right. But what I'm saying is, you don't need him to be a Phobos captain. He can be another captain.
He needs to be in Phobos.
The Phobos cap ability lets you push up with some of your more further units, and it's an additional plus one in cover.
I think you may the point reduction is useful for certain combos.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Captain with a jump pack up 2 points, a big change.
Reasonable.
Gonna make a difference? Not at all.
No.
Centurion Assault Squad, looks like each member has gone down from 53 to 30.
Good.
Ooh, good.
That's I think that's called a discount.
You might see them.
Space Marine, please use this model.
Space Marine Hunter down from 80 to 75.
No one's gonna take it anyway, it's fine.
Stock Land Raider down from 200 to 180.
Absolutely good thing. Still no one's gonna take it.
Land Speeder Storm down from 70 to 15.
You will see them for White Scars now.
Possibly.
Regular Land Speeder, 50 to 45.
Same statement to the previous previous question.
Librarian, up from 88 to 90.
Oh no, what will we do?
Librarian in Phobos armor, down from 90 to down to 90 from 100.
Good.
Yeah, taking that one over the Librarian.
A Librarian in Terminator armor, down to 100 from 102.
Reasonable.
Yeah.
Librarian and jump pack down from 112 to 108.
Also reasonable.
Yeah.
We mentioned it earlier. Lieutenant in Phobos army down to 75 from 80.
Reasonable.
Predator down from 90 to 85.
You might actually see some use, especially
you're
with the right chapter.
You're going to see a lot more predators, especially with the
Devastator
with the
doctrine.
Yeah.
Not even Devastator doctrine, but the Killshot strat.
Yeah. Ooh, yes.
Like, it's good, and now that you can fall back with a vehicle, like,
Primaris Apothecary down from 68 to 60.
You're gonna replace all apothecaries. We were just saying how...
Yes, all zero of them.
Primaris Librarian down from 93 to 90.
Oh, I mean, they're just matching everything at 90 points for if you're a Primaris at this point.
Yep.
Primaris Lieutenant down from 70 to 65.
Ooh, finally we can use those lieutenants.
You guys
can use all 86,000 of them.
You guys aren't going to like this one. Repulsor up from 185 to 215.
No, that makes perfect sense.
They're bringing it in line with the other repulsor. I think Schwartz said that earlier.
And also...
The Executioner and the regular one are now identically costed.
Yeah, but also when you consider the fact that like they're going to get chapter tactics, which they didn't beforehand, and they're most likely going to get combat doctrines, that's like so much more efficient. They needed that point upgrade. If not, it would have been ridiculous.
For sure.
Rhino down from 70 to 65.
They need to compete with the Impulsor somehow.
Pretty sure they still don't compete with the Impulsor. Storm Talon Gunship down from 110 to 100.
I'm sorry, cheap. I haven't seen that model since, like, mid-7.
And that's you saying that. You saw a lot of them.
I ran them, yeah.
Yep. Tactical Squad. Marines have gone down from 13 to 12.
Dude, that is so cheap for
squads. That's really cool.
Yep. I just want to point out, Scions are still 10 points a model.
Yeah, get over it. But, like, Tactical Squad, you can run 5 of them for 60. That's so cheap. They're
only
going
to get a Tau player to come in and complain about how Crisis Suits are overcosted next, as long as they're...
I was going to say, he could come in and complain about how Fire Warriors are overcosted compared to Space Marines now.
Mm. Oh, you completely missed Reavers, by the way. They dropped to 16 points. Not that it matters. The only person who runs them is Anthony.
Not anymore, I don't.
Not yet. No, not that he could take now. You really take Eliminators.
Stalker rifles are damaged too, baby.
Oh, shit. That's a good point.
Next up, the Whirlwind has gone down from 70 to 65.
With the new strat, you're going to see that.
Yeah.
Accelerator Autocannon down from 15 to 10.
Yay.
Assault Plasma. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Anthony.
What takes the accelerator?
Shorts, bro.
I honestly don't know. It's just cheaper.
Wait, doesn't the... is it the Predator?
No, because I think that's just called a Predator Autocannon.
You're right. It is just a Predator Autocannon.
Is it the suppressors that take the accelerator auto?
Yes, it is.
You're right.
It's the suppressors. Oh god, they suck anyway.
They're still 35 points a mile or something like that.
Yeah.
The assault plasma incinerator has gone down from 17 to 15.
Okay, pass. I'm still not taking them over the regular one.
Okay. Auxiliary grenade launcher, which I'm pretty sure they stole from Elysians, up from 0 to 1 because. Why?
It's a noob tube that gives your intercessors a 30-inch grenade.
Ooh, that's kind of dope.
That works really well with Devastator Doctrine.
Anthony's going to enjoy this one. Boltstorm Gauntlet down from 22 to 12.
Really, because the Boltstorm Gauntlet is different than the Auto Boltstorm Gauntlet, which is what goes on aggressors.
I don't care. Centurion Missile Launcher down from 25 to 20.
They're just lining it up with regular missile launchers, which were also dropped to 20.
Cyclone Missile Launcher down from 38 to 32.
I mean, you don't take people that want to take themselves seriously don't take Cyclones or Terminators to begin with, so...
Flamestorm Cannon down from 30 to 25.
Oh, great. Cool. It's going to raise the number of Redeemers from -1 to 0.
Watch, there's like that one guy who runs a Redeemer who's immediately going to make like an angry comment.
He's not.
That is
a unicorn that you just described. There is not a person alive that runs Redeemers and listens to this show.
I don't know, man. There are enough crazy people who listen to this show that it's possible.
Okay. Flamestorm Gauntlet.
Yeah, Flamestorm Gauntlet's down from 15 to 14 because who cares?
Who cares? Aggressors are not going to run those things. They're better off with the DACA.
Correct.
The Grav Cannon and Grav Amp went down from 28 to 20.
Ooh, that's pretty good. Especially considering now that drop odds can drop in on turn one, I could totally see dropping in like...
Centurions can't take drop pods.
I was talking about Devastators. I was talking about the Devastators.
Can we all wish and hope that one day John Feuerhelm, our good friend and co-host, can bring his drop pod forest one more time? Just one more time.
No, absolutely not.
No, I don't ever want to see that again.
Yes, absolutely. It was a hilarious list.
For our listeners out there who aren't aware, our good friend John, he used to run Battle Company when everyone brought Battle Company, but he bought a very unique list that was only upped when we had Escalation Leagues and a tournament in Sacramento where it went up to 2,500 points. He once went to the 2,500 point list, and instead of bringing his paltry 22 drop pod list, he brought a 32 drop pod list. And one of his rounds he got turn one on the Relic. So he just, and this is right around the same time where the flaps that opened up from your drop pod did count as a part of your drop pod. So unless you had fly, you couldn't really move over them. He dropped his entire army all around the Relic and just completely zoned out his opponent from ever even touching that Relic, even seeing a glimpse of that Relic.
Alex, as his opponent, I can tell you I did see glimpses of that Relic, and it made me want to kill him. Because I was doing my best to kill all those drop pods.
96 hull points at armor 12.
Yeah, let's not talk about it. I got through a lot of
this. I need to continue to talk about this for Michael.
There's a reason Schwartz switched to AOS.
Yes. Oof. I think Anthony's going after two people with that joke. Guns going down from 12 to 10.
Good.
Zero people still take them, so it's fine.
Carries Pattern Assault Cannon down from 22 from 25.
I mean, okay, sure.
Cool.
Skyhammer Missile Launcher down from 24 to 20.
That's nice.
Lining up the other missile launchers. Special issue Bolt Gun going down from 2 to 0.
That's really good. Excellent. That means Stern Guard are 14 points a model.
Typhoon Missile Launcher down from 38 to 32.
Vehicles need that, okay, sure.
Combat Shield down from 4 to 1.
No one takes them.
Yeah, because Storm Shields are 2 points.
because that's balanced at all. Next up, Dreadnought Chain Fists down from 38 to 28.
I think Ironclads are gonna be more fun to run.
Dreadnought Close Combat Weapon down from 30 to 20.
I mean, they're lining everything up.
Lightning Claw Single, down from 8 to 6.
That's cool.
Lightning Claw Pair, down from 12 to 10.
Basic math.
Well, no, it's a bonus. You actually get a discount.
I'm aware of that.
Seismic like, Hammer, down from 40 to 30.
Because Dreadnought needs Thunder Hammers, too.
And this is the part that's going to hurt. Thunder Hammer on characters from 21 to 40.
Fucking good.
Yeah.
I'm a Space Marine player. I run them all the time. that the characters are about to be run that was that needed to change.
You were going to see a lot of
And you know what? It's the way 99% of people run their Marines list, because everything else just got so goddamn cheap that it doesn't matter. They will literally see zero actual shift in their list.
So overall, how do we feel? How, let's say, if everyone had to give a grade to the points changes and to everything else we've seen today, are we going? Go ahead, Anthony.
I'm happy. It was a good series of changes. They were necessary. Marines are good again. Glad to see it.
Are you going to be bringing black the BTs?
Absolutely. I don't own that army anymore.
That's not what I asked you.
He's going to be meticulously clipping off all the shoulder pads, the right shoulder pads of his Death Watch.
I find that unlikely.
No, because Death Watch are still the best.
All right, Schwartz, you played previously Raven Guard, before that Blood Angels?
White Scars.
You played BA against me, though.
Yeah. I mean, I love these things.
That's the game that broke the Vince's back?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the game that broke Vince's back.
Yeah, it was, because that game was bullshit.
And Vince never came back.
You say that. One day, motherfucker.
Okay, I have to say A+. All the changes sound fantastic. I love the new models. The fact that you have now two primary types of scout troops are really good. The Invictus infiltrating dreadnought is good. You're never going to see the Impulsor unless you're running like a funny league night, or if you're Anthony and you're feeling like you want to play hard mode.
But they're so cool. I mean,
they are so.
But they're cool.
Thank you for proving my point. The Eliminators have a lot of potential. I despite what Vince thinks, I think them with the last few are good. And all these point drops, like hell, Stern Guard, you're going to see again. The fact that Tactical Marines, you can run 5 for 60 points is ridiculous.
Stop reinforcing to me how overcosted Scions are.
All right, fine. I'm getting over. You'll get over it eventually.
I'm still not over it.
Hey, are we going to talk about why people are wrong about drop pods being broke?
That was why
I was coming to go.
Do we want to? All right, Anthony, we will give you time to rant.
Go for it. Rant.
We are closing on an Anthony rant.
It's a series of statements of facts, okay?
Okay, go.
So, you start in the Devastator Doctrine, okay? Which means that, and by the way, that stratagem that we mentioned does not allow you to switch from Tactical Doctrine, period. You can switch from Devastator or Assault Doctrine to one of the other two, okay?
Yep.
So, from the get-go, we're not doing that. That won't be a thing. So then we have the point where, okay, so your drop pod comes in and you've got bolters. Bolters are cool. Don't get me wrong. They can do a lot of damage, but they could be doing anything against turn one screens that wasn't already being done to them. And I'm pretty expensive than your other options. So you've got, basically there's, people are talking about, oh, I'll put heavy flamers in drop pods. It's going to be broken. Okay, well, can't go in drop pods. Terminators can't deep strike turn one. And there's only literally one unit in the Codex that is infantry that can go in a drop pod. Two, if you're Blood Angels, because their tactical squad can also take a heavy flamer. And that's Stern Guard veterans. So you can put two heavy flamers in a Stern Guard veteran squad. So you have three of them in three drop pods with their special issue bolt guns. Yes, it's going to do a lot of damage, especially if you use the +1 to wound stratagem on the Stern Guard. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be okay, especially if you put a couple of characters in there for reroll ones and all that stuff, but it is by no means a broken thing. What's going to be more worrisome is people using 5 or 6 drop pods to completely block some armies in their own deployment zone. That's going to be silly, but you're not going to be experiencing, oh my god, the end of the world because of all this firepower. Devastators unilaterally have a -1 to hit when they disembark from the drop pod because they're all heavy weapons that they're shooting. So I'm super not worried about it. That's all I got.
Alex and Schwartz, thank you for joining me as per the usual. Go ahead and sign off.
Have a good night, everyone.
Anthony, thank you for joining us for the first time. We will bring you back at your very first next opportunity. Best of luck into the future, my friend.
Take it easy.
Thank you all, listeners. We hope you will join us next week. Please do like us on Facebook, on Podbean, and check out the other podcasts, AOS and X-Wing. Good night, everyone.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.